One of the oldest religions in the world is Jainism, or traditionally known as Jain Dharma. Originating from ancient India, this philosophy centers around concepts such as right perception, right knowledge, and right conduct in the attainment of moksha, or realization of the soul's true nature. The concept of ahimsa, or nonviolence, is of equally great importance. Thus, with compassion for all life, practitioners of Jainism follow a pure vegetarian or vegan diet. Jains follow the ancient wisdom of the 24 Tirthankaras, or prophets, whose teachings comprise the Agam Sutras, the religion's holy scriptures. Lord Mahavira, who is considered to be the last Tirthankara, was born around 5th to 6th century BCE as a prince of the ancient kingdom of Vaishali. He later forsook his royal status to pursue the spiritual path. After attaining Kaval Janan, or all-knowing intuitive vision, he spent the rest of his life giving discourses on spiritual truths, which form the present-day tenets of Jainism. We present to you today excerpts of the first lecture from the second book of Jainism's Akaranga Sutra, entitled Begging of Food. A monk or a nun on a begging tour should not accept such food, etc., about the acceptability or unacceptability of which his or her mind has some doubts or misgivings for such food, etc. When a monk or a nun wishes to enter the abode of a householder, they should do so with the complete outfit. A monk or a nun entering or leaving the out-of-door places for religious practices or study should do so with the complete outfit. A monk or a nun wandering from village to village should do so with the complete outfit.
A monk or a nun should not, with the complete outfit, enter or leave the abode of a householder to collect alms, or the out-of-door places for religious practices and study, or wander from village to village on perceiving that a strong and widely spread rain pours down, or a strong and widely spread mist is coming on, or a high wind raises much dust, or many flying insects are scattered about and fall down. A monk or a nun on a begging tour should not accept food, etc., in the houses of Kshatriyas, military or ruling social order of Vedic Hindu, kings, messengers, and relations of kings, whether they are inside or outside, or invite them, for such food, etc., is impure and unacceptable. Thus I say.
Fourth lesson. A monk or a nun on a begging tour should not resolve to go to a festival, preceded or followed by an entertainment, to partake of it when they know that there will be served up chiefly meat or fish, or roasted slices of meat or fish, nor to a wedding breakfast in the husband's house or in that of the bride's father, nor to a funeral dinner or to a family dinner where something is served up, if on their way there, there are many living beings, many seeds, many sprouts, much dew, much water, much mildew, many drops of water, much dust, and many cobwebs. Or if there have arrived or will arrive many shramanas or wandering monks and brahmanas or members of a cultural and social elite, guests, paupers, and beggars, and if it will be a crowded assembly so that a wise man may not enter or leave it, or learn there the sacred texts, to question about them, to repeat them, to consider them, to think about the substance of the law.
A monk or a nun may go to such an entertainment, provided that on their way there, there are few living beings, few seeds, etc., that no sramanas, wandering monks, and brahmanas, members of a cultural and social elite, etc., have arrived or will arrive. That it is not a crowded assembly, so that a wise man may enter or leave, etc. A monk or nun desirous to enter the abode of a householder should not do so when they see that the food, etc., is being cooked, and that it is not yet distributed. Perceiving this, they should step apart and stay where no people pass or see them. But when they conceive that the dinner prepared and distributed, then they may circumspectly enter or leave the householder's abode for the sake of alms.
Some of the mendicants say to those who follow the same rules of conduct, live in the same place, or wander from village to village, "This is indeed a small village. It is too populous, nor is it large. Reverend gentlemen, go to the outlying villages to beg alms." Some mendicant may have their kinsmen or relations, for example, a householder, or his wife, or daughters-in-law, or nurses, or male and female servants. Such families with which he is connected by kindred or through marriage, he intends to visit before the time of begging.
"I shall get there," he thinks, "food or dainties or sugar or oil, a sesamen dish or raw sugar, or a meal of parched wheat. After having eaten and drunk and having cleaned and rubbed the alms bowl, I shall, together with other mendicants, enter or leave the abode of a householder to collect alms. As this would be sinful, he should not do so, but at the proper time, entering there with the other mendicants, he may there in these or other families accept alms, which are acceptable and given out of respect for his cloth, and eat his meal. This certainly is the whole duty, etc. Thus I say."
Fifth lesson. When a monk or a nun, on entering the abode of a householder, sees that the first portion of the meal is being thrown away, or thrown down, or taken away, or distributed, or eaten, or put off, or has already been eaten or removed, that already other shramanas or wandering monks and brahmanas or members of a cultural and social elite, guests, paupers, and beggars go there in great haste, they might think, "Hello, I too shall go there in haste." As this would be sinful, they should not do so.
When a monk or a nun on a begging tour comes upon walls or gates or bolts or holes to fit them, they should, in case there be a byway, avoid those obstacles and not go on straight. When a monk or a nun on a begging tour comes on their way upon a pit, pillar, thorns, or unsafe marshy or uneven ground or mud, they should, in case there be a byway, avoid these obstacles and not walk on straight.
When a monk or a nun on a begging tour perceives that the entrance of a householder's abode is secured by a branch of a thorn bush, they should not, without having previously got the owner's permission and having examined and swept the entrance, make it passable or enter and leave the house, but they may circumspectly do so after having got the owner's permission and having examined and swept it. When a monk or a nun on a begging tour knows that a shramana or wandering monk or a brahmana or member of a cultural and social elite, a guest, pauper, or beggar has already entered the house, they should not stand in their sight or opposite the door.
The Kavalin, one who has attained omniscience, says, "This is the reason." Another, on seeing him, might procure and give him food, etc. Therefore, it has been declared to the mendicants, "This is the statement, this is the reason, this is the order, that he should not stand in the other mendicant's sight or opposite the door. Knowing this, he should go apart and stay where no people pass or see him. Another man may bring and give him food, etc., while he stays where no people pass or see him, and say unto him, 'O long-lived Swamana, wandering monk, this food, etc., has been given for the sake of all of you. Eat it or divide it among you.' Having silently accepted the gift, he might think, 'Well, this is just enough for me.' As this would be sinful, he should not do so."
Knowing this, he should join the other beggars and, after consideration, say unto them, "O long-lived Shramanas or wandering monks, this food, etc., is given for the sake of all of you. Eat it or divide it among you." After these words, another might answer him, "O long-lived Shramana or wandering monk, distribute it yourself." Dividing the food, etc., he should not select for himself too great a portion, or the vegetables, or the conspicuous things, or the savory things, or the delicious things, or the nice things, or the big things, but he should impartially divide it, not being eager or desirous or greedy or covetous of anything. When he thus makes the division, another might say, "O long-lived Shramana or wandering monk, do not divide the food, but let us all together eat and drink. When he thus eats, he should not select for himself too great a portion, etc., but should eat and drink alike with all, not being desirous, etc.
When a monk or a nun on a begging tour perceives that a shramana, wandering monk, or brahmana, member of a cultural and social elite, a beggar or guest has already entered the house, they should not overtake them and address the householder first. Knowing this, they should go apart and stay where no people pass or see them. But when they perceive that the other has been sent away or received alms and has returned, they may circumspectly enter the house and address the householder. This certainly is the whole duty, etc. Thus I say.
Sixth lesson. A monk or a nun on a begging tour should not stand leaning against the doorpost of the householder's abode, or his sink or spitting pot, nor inside of or opposite to his bathroom or privy. Nor should they contemplate a loophole or a mended spot or a fissure of the house or the bathing house, showing in that direction with an arm or pointing with a finger, bowing up and down. Nor should they beg, pointing with a finger at the householder, or moving him with a finger, or threatening him with a finger, or scratching him with a finger, or praising him, or using coarse language.
If he sees somebody eating, e.g. the householder or his wife, etc., he should, after consideration, say, O long-lived one, or O sister, will you give me some of that food? After these words, the other might wash or wipe his hand or pot or spoon or plate with cold or hot water. He should, after consideration, say, O long-lived one, or O sister, do not wash or wipe your hand or pot or spoon or plate. If you want to give me something, give it as it is. After these words, the other might give him a share, having washed or wiped his hand, etc., with cold or hot water. But he should not accept anything out of such a hand, etc., which has been before treated thus, for it is impure and unacceptable.
It is also to be known that food, etc., is impure and unacceptable, which is given with a wet hand, though the hand be not purposely wetted. The same rule holds good with regard to a moistened hand, etc., and a dusty hand, etc., and a hand which is soiled with clay, dew, orpiment, vermilion, realgar, collyrium, white chalk, alum, rice flour, kokusa, or red powder of rice husks, ground drugs. It is also to be known that he may accept such food, etc., which is given with a soiled hand, etc., to one similarly soiled, that is, with what one is to receive, or to one unsoiled, with hands similarly soiled, for such food, etc., is pure and acceptable.
A monk or a nun on a begging tour should not accept flattened grains, grains containing much chaff, etc., which a layman, for the sake of the mendicant, has ground, grinds, or will grind, has winnowed, winnows, or will winnow on a rock or a piece of clay containing life, etc. For such large parched grains, etc., are impure and unacceptable. A monk or a nun on a begging tour should not accept fossil salt or sea salt, which a householder, for the sake of the mendicant, has ground or pounded, grinds or pounds, will grind or pound on a rock or a piece of clay containing life, etc. For such like fossil salt or sea salt is impure and unacceptable.
A monk or a nun on a begging tour should not accept food, etc., which is prepared over the fire, for such food is impure and unacceptable. The Kavalan, or one who has attained omniscience, says, this is the reason. A layman will kill the fire bodies by wetting or moistening, wiping or rubbing, throwing up or turning down the food, etc., for the sake of the mendicant. Hence it has been declared to the mendicants, this is the statement, this is the reason, this is the order, that they should not accept food, etc., which has been prepared over the fire, etc. This certainly is the whole duty, etc. Thus I say. Thank you for your magnanimous company for today's episode of Between Master and Disciples. Part 3 of the excerpts of Begging of Food from the Jainism's Akaranga Sutra will continue next Thursday. Please stay tuned to Supreme Master Television for Animal World, Our Co-Inhabitants, coming out next right after Noteworthy News. Farewell for now, and God bless.
Hmm. For more details, please visit www.suprememastertv.com/BND.